back to, you just got to get rid of the guy, I feel like. That's what I feel like today. You just got to get rid of him now. This can't continue.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Kuminga is on our minds today because Anthony Slater came out with an update on ESPN. We will give you those updates coming up in a little bit. But before we do that, let me ask you something that Dave Fleming told us. And I asked him about the trade deadline and the struggles leading up to the deadline, which are tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and how this impacts the decision makers for organizations. And he said, quote, no doubt this has changed their mindset, but the Giants are always in buy mode, and quote, but now it's both ways as opposed to a one-way street. So maybe you see some buying, maybe you see some selling, or maybe it's what we were talking about earlier today, Shasky, where it's, you can define it as a sell if you want. You can also define it as a buy if you want, because maybe it's not buying for this year, but it's buying for next year, and you might be selling off some extra pieces on your current big league roster. Maybe that's what Fleming was talking about, where it's not going to be easily put into either of those categories.
You think it's going to be a little bit of both?
Maybe. I mean, that's what it seemed like Fleming said.
Well, Jeff Passan put out a report saying that the Giants are fielding offers for some of their back-end road bullpen guys. And when I hear back end, I'm thinking Ryan Walker, Tyler Rogers, Duvall. That's back end, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I just who else would be a part of that? So, yeah, I would think that they should do their due diligence and see what they can get.
That's interesting.
It is. I mean, it is interesting. I just got that ESPN alert.
That is, I wonder what else they'd be willing to listen to, or if it's just that from the big league roster, what else they'd be willing to listen to.
Now, as I referenced Camilo Duvall, he's an interesting case study. I think he was frustrated in his usage in a similar fashion to the way JK felt frustrated with his usage. And I will give him a ton of credit and the team a ton of credit. I was like, trade him in the offseason. This was last year.
Yeah.
They didn't. And he bought in to whatever, you know, reconcile they came to. He bought in, the team bought in, and they're better for it. He's better for it. They're in a better position. They shined up his value. And if they want to keep him, he's a valuable piece for whatever you want to do moving forward. That is one of the rare times where it actually has worked out, where like, hey, everyone came to the table and we were all in the same place. As I contrast that to the Kuminga situation, it feels like that boat has sailed.
The Kuminga situation is the Duvall situation, but if it continued for two or three more years. That we're at the Duvall situation last year was the beginning. That was Kuminga's like rookie year or second year.
Yes.
If that continued to happen, then, and the dynamics in MLB are of course different because you go through all the years of arbitration, yada yada yada. But just in terms of a player being disgruntled and upset with his role and what's being asked of him, that was beginning stages, Kuminga. Before he really had any right to voice it publicly, because he was nowhere near a contract extension or any decision that had to be made on him at that point.
No doubt.
Now Kuminga is obviously at that point. Duvall is still not at that point, but they seem to have smoothed things over.
I just, again, like I used to be the, no, you got to keep the best players no matter what. And I'm not saying it's always this case, but there are times like what the Red Sox did with Devers. They were done with him.
Absolutely.
The team, the locker room, the coaches.
I still can't get over why they traded him in the middle of June as opposed to waiting to the deadline. They were so eager
were
to get him out of there.
They were done with him.
So eager.
And I feel like Kuminga is done with Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
So you kind of just got to take whatever you can get at this point and get rid of him. Now people say, no, you can't do that. You need him more. And like, look, I hear you. Like, I understand that. But the Red Sox need Devers' bat. Do they not?
The Red Sox?
Yes. No,
yeah, they would
on
love
paper.
To have Devers bat. Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Right? On paper, the Warriors need everything Jonathan Kuminga brings to the table. Athleticism,
yes.
Youth,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Perimeter defense, you know, the ability to pressure on the rim, all those things. But there is something to be said for vibes. And I'm not saying vibes always override talent, because there's, trust me, you got to have talent to win.
Well, what are the Red Sox since trading Devers?
2015.
Like, yeah.
2015.
When the Giants are, since acquiring Devers, they are 13-23.
Christian Wilkins got cut this week in the NFL. This is another example.
The Raiders defensive tackle.
Yeah. The Raiders were done with him for a variety of reasons.
It's a weird story.
It is a weird story, but I don't know, like, I thought he was a really good player. I know he's injured, so there's an injury thing also kind of coupled in there, but I get the sense they were done with him. That's why he got cut. Like, he's just get out of here.
Well, and the Warriors are a unique example of this, and maybe the Giants as well. A lot of our Bay Area teams, and maybe the Niners less so. Football is obviously a different sport, but the Niners generally in the Shanahan era have had a pretty good locker room and chemistry, right, and vibes. Some awkwardness with Trey Lance and Jimmy and all that, but for the most part. But specifically the Warriors and the Giants, and maybe even more specifically the Warriors, singularly, they've always been a team that has kind of preferred the vibes versus,
yes,
like, incredible talent.
Yes.
And it got to a point at the most recent trade deadline where I remember Steve Kerr came on this station in the afternoon with Willard and Dibbs. I think I might have actually, yeah, I was filling in that day. And I asked him the question of, do you feel like you get to a point where you have to maybe forsake some of your talent or your chemistry for the sake of bringing in more talent? And the question was specifically about Jimmy Butler, because the report was the Steve Kerr and Steph Curry are questioning whether or not they want to bring, you know, they what they call Jimmy Butler, the locker room cancer,
well,
right,
or whatever fair, it was. Like, when you do that with Pat Riley, it's fair to have that
fair
label.
Fair yeah. question. And yeah. Steve Kerr said, well, you got to have... Obviously, great chemistry is great when you can have it, but if you don't have X amount of talent, it does not matter how much everyone in your clubhouse locker room loves each other. So you have to make some concessions at times, which I think was a really interesting point that he made. And then a couple of days later, they trade for Jimmy Butler, and they went on this great run, and now they're in the situation that they are in now. I think it's also maybe related to Bob Melvin, who everyone describes as a player's manager, and everybody loves the guy. Like, I don't think any player in that clubhouse would say a bad word about Bob Melvin. But at a certain point, maybe being a player's manager, when everything the players are doing is so wrong, might not be the best way to get the best out of your roster.
Yeah, I think the Giants need friction, not someone who's going to make things amicable. I think the Niners kind of went through something similar with Deebo Samuel. I still think Deebo's got something left. I do. I don't think he's completely washed like everyone else thinks he does. But wouldn't you agree both parties needed to remove each other? We needed to be out of each other's lives, the Niners and Deebo Samuel.
It was about time.
It was, right? That's how I feel right now. Like, is the fifth round pick that they got from Washington commiserate to the talent of Deebo Samuel and what he meant to the team over the last?
No.
No, it's not even close. But we were done. We were all done.
NFL trades are so weird in that way.
They're just so
bizarre. Here's one of the best wide receivers of all time. I'm not talking about Deebo.
Yeah.
Well, the best we can do is a fourth round pick.
It's insane. It's insane. So there's a different algorithm, right? But like, I do believe, like, I keep coming back to, like, I know you guys don't want to hear this, and I know we're going to lose the trade. I think it's best for everybody to just move off him and just allow him to go where he wants to go, because I think they're setting themselves up for a nightmarish fall, just dealing with this every single game. Is he going to start? Well, what's his role going to be? Why didn't you bring him in the six-minute mark? Oh, well, why did you yank him? Is he going to finish? Can he finish? Why wasn't he high-fiving anybody coming off the floor? Like, you're laughing, but you know.
No, yeah, I know. It's going to be real if it happens, yes.
You know, like, I just think everyone is setting themselves up for it. So it's like, look, everybody's mishandled this. They've all screwed up. The Warriors have blame. JK's got a little bit of blame. The coaches got blame. The agents got blame. I think it's best for everybody to just go their separate ways. As much as that might actually screw up what little that they need, like, in return, you know, they need certain things in return, they're not going to get it. They're just not. I think you just have to bite the bullet and take the loss here.
Your read on the situation, in my mind, is accurate. I think that's the same read the Kings have on the situation. I think it's the same read the Suns have on the situation. And if that's the read that those teams, who are the most interested in acquiring Kuminga, if that's how they are viewing the situation, they feel no pressure, maybe other than competing with each other, competing with the Kings and the Suns, those two teams competing their offers with the Warriors or with Kuminga, they don't feel any reason to up their offer to the Warriors. Because if they believe it's in the Warriors' best interest to just say, fine, we're going to cut our losses and we'll move on, we don't like the trade return that we're getting back, but it's better than the other option.
It is what it is.
So what is the motivation for the Kings to be like, all right, here is Keon Ellis instead of Dario Saric and Devin Carter? Like, there's no reason for those teams to back down and just bend to the Warriors' will. So it's going to get to a point where the Warriors, I would imagine, and you just laid this out, they're just going to have to say, fine, we'll do it, get them off of our hands.
Allowing it to get to this point you have to wave the white flag and realize you're losing whatever deal is on the table. Would you agree with that? You're losing no matter what the compensation yes. package is, you're coming out on the short end of what you could have had 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Whenever,
you just have to operate that way.
Whenever the Warriors came to the conclusion that the best pass forward was probably trading Kuminga, they envisioned the return were going to be 10 times what they're going to end
and
up getting.
And they're not going to get that.
Yes.
It's very similar to the James Wiseman deal at the deadline, where you got Gary Payton, who was injured and, you know, moved some second-round picks. Like, you're taking a loss here.
And then Gary Payton failed his physical, but you still went through with the trade anyway.
The worst thing
desperate.
When you talk to people who are investors, the worst thing that you can do is double down on something that you know is already a loss. You just cut your losses and you move on.
Yeah, don't just keep stacking bad money on top of more bad money. All right, we got a break coming up in a minute or two, but before we do that, we got to check in with Lubman behind the glass. What are we thinking for this or that today, Sam?
So Carter and I had some cooked up, but we kind of we're aborting that one. We're going to go to a backup one because we got some Jonathan Kuminga stuff going on, so which means we got to stay in the Kuminga crisis.
Kuminga crisis!
I just wanted to play it.
That is so good.
Today's Kuminga-themed this or that. It's a simple one, guys. Who mismanaged this situation more, the Warriors or Jonathan Kuminga?
This is easy for me.
Who mismanaged this more, the Warriors or Kuminga in his camp? And it's a good one. There's plenty of blame to go around, but who deserves the most blame? We can get to that when we come back. That's what's coming up on the game. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. If you want to weigh in with an answer to our this or that question, who mismanaged this situation more, the Warriors or Kuminga and his camp? You can weigh in at 888-957-9570. Again, that's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's the Morning Roast, Shasky and Grandy in, back with more next on 95.7 The Game. Subscribe and listen today wherever you listen to podcasts. And even though he recorded it before yesterday's game, the message still holds true. Yeah, last night for the Giants, Shasky was just more of the same. So that latest episode of the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast will hold true. Again, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. But it is time on a Wednesday for this or that. Guys, fire it away in the back. Well, we got it?
You can get with this, so you can get with that.
Light up.
There we go.
My bad.
Carter Carson. Call 957-9570 right now. Because it's time for this or that.
This or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with this. That and this center. It's like that and like this and like that. It's like...
All right, this or that for today, and you can weigh in at 888-957-9570. Who mismanaged this whole Jonathan Kuminga situation more, the Golden State Warriors or Kuminga and his camp? Shasky, before I turn to you for your answer, let me just read a chunk of this piece from Anthony Slater on ESPN that was released today, and it's why we're talking about this right now. Slater writes, quote, "The Golden State Warriors made another push to retain Jonathan Kuminga over the past several days, but the restricted free agent is continuing to decline their two-year $45 million contract offer," end quote. So, Shasky, again, for this or that, I ask you, who mismanaged this situation more, the Warriors or Kuminga?
I mean, knowing what we know now, there's obviously blame to go everywhere. Everyone deserves blame. I'm going to lean Warriors, and it's pretty easy for me on this one, because at many different points in the relationship, they should have been more self-aware of who Jonathan Kuminga is, what motivates him, and I think having the emotional awareness of how to connect with players is extremely important in this sport. Maybe more so than the other ones. Because of how difficult it is to move contracts, that's one. And two, because it's such a small team and a small environment, one malcontent, one frustration can bleed over into a lot of other areas. I think it's the Warriors by a lot in this one. And I think that they mismanaged understanding what motivates JK, what he wants. I think they mismanaged clearly what their coach was looking for in players on the team, who he wanted to play. Clearly they mismanaged different spots where they could have moved off Jonathan Kuminga for maybe lesser than what they thought, and they mismanaged what they thought his ceiling was in real time, what it might be long term, what his value is league-wide. They mismanaged playing time for him from the beginning when they drafted him. I think there are like 8 or 9 different ways that they mismanaged this entire thing. Again, blame goes everywhere, but this is this or that. You have to choose one or the other, and I'm choosing the Warriors in this situation. And it's just, God, it's so frustrating. Knowing what we know now, it's like, probably should have moved him multiple years ago.
Yes, I agree with you.
Once you locked into Draymond, once you locked into Steve Kerr, once you locked into some of these guys, like, should have traded him multiple years ago, if not at the deadline this year, even if he was coming back from an injury.
Yeah, I just saw this question that came in on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame. Everything we do there powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Let's see if I can go back and find it. It comes from David Hernandez. David writes, why do the Warriors want JK so bad? Please tell me. I think it's a very simple answer to that question. They don't want JK so badly. They don't want Kuminga the player so badly. And this goes to what you're talking about. They have known for a while they don't like JK the player. And you can have a disagreement. You could think Kuminga is the next coming of Michael Jordan. Like, you can feel however you want. That's not how the Warriors feel. I guarantee you that. And if they have felt that way about Kuminga for this long, then you should have had the guts to move off of him when his value was at the highest. Now, to answer your question further, David, their Warriors are acting as if they don't want to trade him away and they want to keep him. Why is that if they don't like him? The reality in today's NBA is maybe more valuable than a middle-of-the-road player, which I think is a fair description of Kuminga right now. It's just the contract slot. Having the contract slot is valuable because guess what? Those are the building blocks in getting a big player back in return. And partly why they're offering Jonathan Kuminga a $22.5 million AAV deal is because they know if for whatever reason something happens to Giannis in Milwaukee, they need a $20 million contract slot that they can include in a trade and get him here. They're dreaming. They're living in la-la land thinking that that's even a possibility. But I guarantee you part of the reason for offering this deal to Kuminga, when they, I would imagine, don't believe they're going to get $22 million worth of play out of that player, it's just to have the salary slot still on their team.
If your entire operating, theory is, well, I want to do this because I need to have this other contingency in plan.
Yes.
The original plan probably isn't a great one.
You're probably right.
You know, like,
but that's part of this.
I'm sure there's some sort of a prenup situation, conversation, joke, if you will, in here anyway. I've never had enough money to be able to require a prenup. If anything, I would like to marry into money. Carter, do you have any relatives that would marry into my side?
Whoa, get in line. I already asked.
Yeah. So, like, that's just, the whole thing has just been an exercise in understanding, you know, the relationships. That's what I feel like it has been for me in terms of the Warriors, just the last three or 4 years.
Yep.
Relationships between, hey, if we pay Poole, how is that going to react to these other guys on the team? If we pay Wiggins, how's that going to react? If we, you know, don't play you at the desired positions, how does that affect ball movement and then, you know, people's frustrations? You know, like, I don't think Steph Curry is without blame in this one. There was an article at the end of the year, something to the effect of, like, Steph Curry didn't get the ball passed to him in the corner of a Portland Trailblazer game down the stretch. Really? We're making sweeping indictments on Kuminga's fit alongside Curry based off of a possession that Curry didn't get? Like, come on, these guys have played basketball long enough. They know if the guy fits with them or not. Some guys you gel with, sometimes you don't, you know? And that doesn't make people bad guys. Like, we were talking about Tatum earlier. I don't think Tatum's a bad player because he doesn't fit with a lot of other guys. I think he's a really good player. I do think basketball, there are some odd fits where sometimes two guys together work. Sometimes two guys together who are great individual players doesn't work. I mean, the Miami Heatles took a minute to kind of figure themselves out, you know? And I don't even know if they're one of the all-time great teams, right? Like, I've probably taken the Warrior KD version, you know, over that team. So, just because you're a good or great player doesn't mean you fit with other good and great players. Sometimes this just happens. And I think we turn it into, like, you suck if you can't play with Curry. It's like, no, I think it's actually kind of hard to play with Curry.
Are this or that for today? Who mismanaged this Kuminga situation more, the Warriors or Kuminga and his camp themselves? 888-957-9570. Oreo Cookie wants to weigh in. What's up, Oreo Cookie? How you doing?
What's up, Grandy? What's up, Joe? Great show, you guys, man. Hey, I'm telling you guys have some of the best shows when the Giants are losing, bro. I love the passion, man. I hate to rub it in, but it's great. It's great for radio, man. But for this or that, you guys hit it right in the nail, man. It goes both sides a little bit more to management, I believe. Management is the one that mismanaged this thing. Kerr has said it from the beginning. He doesn't like Kuminga. He doesn't want to play him. He refuses to play him. So when our coach says that, our management has to step up and say, okay, let's get this guy out of here. Let's see what we can get. We definitely missed on some spots, on some trades that we probably could have had years back or even last year, man. But I think management is the one that mismanaged this. And this is just ridiculous on how it's going on now. I don't blame Kuminga for playing hardball, man. This management team did him dirty.
Appreciate it, Oreo Cookie. I mean, now that's not to say that they are completely free in the blame game here either, because they absolutely mismanaged this every step of the way as well. But the Warriors, it felt like the inevitable break between the Warriors and Kuminga first became apparent or was first realized by the Warriors' side of things. I think they probably realized that way before Kuminga ever got to a point where he said, I'm never playing here again.
which year was that?
The Warriors probably.
I'm teasing. That was like a joke about Kuminga. Like, I feel like I've heard that. I don't want to play here anymore multiple times.
But that was born out of Steve Kerr not playing Jonathan Kuminga. And why would Steve Kerr not play Jonathan Kuminga? Because he doesn't like him as a basketball player.
Well, no, also, that, I think that takes a little off of JK's way. I think at times his fit in the offense has been clunky.
Yes.
Right? I just think that I think it does take away some of the culpability, because I do believe that sometimes we over criticize coaches and we under scrutinize players taking their own career into their own hands. You know, boxing out is not something the coach should have to tell you to do. You know, some guys are really good at it. Some guys need to work at it. Some guys need to make it a point of emphasis, because you know that the guy I'm playing for really values the little things, the extra pass, the boxing out. You can say it's stupid, you know, like people could feel that way. That's fine. But you know, like, hey, this particular boss, I've had bosses, for example, I want you to document everything in an Excel spreadsheet. And then I want you to send that to me once a week. I know that that's important to them, invaluable to them. And so if I want to be employed under that individual and get promoted and get merit increases and all those things, I'm going to have to do some of those things that they like. I may not love it. I hate doing it. In fact, I hate doing the data input, and I might be really good at the sales portion of it, but terrible at the data input part of it. And I know that I have to do those things to be able to get more leeway with that boss. And in this way, I think, you know, saying that, oh, Kerr just doesn't like Kuminga outright, that might be true, but it also takes away from some of the little things that he has said out loud, and I'm sure behind the scenes, to JK that he needs to work on, and he's kind of come up short in that area.
Yeah, when I say Kerr is not a fan of Kuminga the player, a lot of that is Kuminga's refusal or inability to adjust his game and do what is asked of him.
Exactly.
And what's needed of him.
Exactly.
But just to make it as quick and succinct as possible, Kuminga is not the kind of player that Steve Kerr likes to play a lot. That's just the reality.
No, you're 100% correct.
Yeah.
I mean, you know who he loves? He loves the Gisantos types. You know,
he loves the hustlers.
He does
all the small things. Who rebounds?
He absolutely
who dives
does.
On the floor?
I mean, Tibbs has a particular type. You know, he likes the Vanderbilt tryhard guys. Does he
the
not?
Guy who,
Vanderbilt, Villanova tryhard guys.
The guy who was willing to play every single second of every single game.
Exactly.
And then inevitably get to the playoffs and break down.
Exactly. Like Don Nelson had a type. A lot of coaches have types. I think Kyle Shanahan has a type. You know, I do. I think that he has particular players that he really, really likes, and other ones that I think leave him very, very, very frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, at times. I think Juwan Jennings is his kind of guy. He blocks. He run blocks. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
He loves those kind of guys, those gritty, I'm not selfish, I will do whatever the team wants me to do. That's why Kittle's like a match made in heaven for him. Right?
Yeah, because he's maybe the best he's the best overall tight end, one of the best pass-catching tight ends in the NFL, but he might love blocking both for a screen play to Deebo Samuel, but also on the ground for Christian McCaffrey. He might love that more than he loves catching a pass in the end zone for a touchdown. Those like moments where he gets singled out on the camera and he's mic'd up or whatever it is, and he's laughing maniacally as he takes somebody to the ground. He loves that more than anything else, and that's the kind of stuff that gets Kyle Shanahan like perked up, like the hairs on the back of his neck stand up. That's what Kyle Shanahan loves. When a player who is a skill position and who is involved in all of the fancy, high-profile, sexy stuff of an offense, when he likes doing all of the other stuff.
No doubt.
He loves that.
I think it goes both ways. Why does Pods play as much as he does? People ask that to me all the time. Well, A, he doesn't play a redundant position that other players occupy.
That's number one.
Because I do think that's a part of why Kuminga's been stymied. Why Moody has been stymied at times. Because other guys were in front of them. Pods is a ball movement, point guard who's going to see the floor. That's what I view him as, like a point guard, right? He occasionally can knock down a three. He's going to hustle. He's going to get his nose in there. I don't think he's a great perimeter defender, but I think he makes up for it in the hustle plays and the hustle categories, the extra passes, and some of the spacing of the floor stuff. So Kerr overlooks the things he doesn't bring to the table, because the things he does bring to the table are things that he values in what he's looking for. I think the reverse is true with Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
I think the things he brings to the table, Kerr de-emphasizes, which is his preference. And then the things that he doesn't bring to the table are things that are sticking points for playing time for Steve Kerr.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling here on the phone lines for this or that. Who mismanaged this Kuminga situation more? The Warriors, and that's Kerr, Lacob, Dunleavy, any of the above, all the above other names, or Kuminga and his camp and his agent, of course, is included in that. 888-957-9570. Frank is in Atlanta and wants to weigh in. Frank, what do you think? This or that? Warriors or Kuminga? Who mismanaged it more?
If you have to say anything, it would have to be the Warriors, but in particular, it was Kerr. Because Kerr, that's the same reason why Clay left, because Kerr could not adapt the offense to the personnel that he had. He couldn't do it. He has to play the one way off of Curry. So Kuminga is not going to fit in because he's not a power forward. Hello?
We got you, Frank.
Okay. So if you're not going to do exactly what Kerr does, wants to do, then he can't adapt. So it's on Kerr. It's the reason why Clay left. It's the reason why Kuminga's going to leave. And that's why I'm saying, like, Pod's job is to bring the ball up the court, because Steph can't bring the ball up the court and score 30 points a night and do both anymore. Father Time is the GOAT. Okay, so you want to send Clay to the bench because he can't bring the ball up the court. No, you have to change how you set your offense up.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank. I think one thing that you said was Steve Kerr essentially could not or was unable to adjust the offense to the roster. And what he's talking about specifically is what Kuminga does best. And to his point, it did seem like there was, I don't know, not an inability, but an unwillingness to put Kuminga in spots that he is better accustomed to. And like, what would maximize Kuminga's skill set? That didn't happen that often. I think I would just fire back to Frank and say, it's not as if it could not happen. It's not as if Steve Kerr has an inability to utilize Kuminga's skill set. Of course he does. It was an outright refusal to. It was an active decision that Steve Kerr made to not feature Kuminga prominently. Because Steve Kerr made a decision. And this isn't like Steve Kerr hates Kuminga. No, of course. It's not. It's not personal. It's purely a basketball decision. And Steve Kerr's choice was, what gives us the best chance to win basketball games? Is it an offense centered around Stephen Curry, a two-time MVP, a four-time champion, maybe the best offensive player in the history of the league. Is our best chance to win around that or to win around Kuminga? And his decision was, well, I'm going to choose Steph of course he would.
Well, that's too simplistic for me. Because do they run a pick and roll here and there? Yes. Yes. For other players. That's number one. Like, they don't just run motion the entire game. Like, they do run other sets, and you'll see them do different things, right? Yeah. They do DHOs all the time. This dribble handoff thing. They'll do it over and over and over, and they'll get movement off ball. I think the guy that everyone fails to mention, because we always go, this is the way Curry wants to play. I think it's Draymond, too. Draymond being such a non-shooter.
That's part of it, yeah.
And Draymond being basically your de facto point guard is kind of lost when we have these conversations about why Kuminga and the fit isn't good. No one honors Draymond as a shooter, so they sag off him, which clogs the paint,
yep,
which limits the kind of personnel you can play alongside Draymond in general. It's why Looney and Draymond has always been a clunky fit. It's why even Jimmy Butler and Draymond I had my doubts on, because Jimmy's not a shooter either, right? And so I throw Kuminga into that same bucket. It's hard to play Kuminga long stretches alongside Draymond, not just because Kuminga comes up short as a stretch shooter, but also because of Draymond being your point guard, your de facto trigger man at the top of the key. Like, he also doesn't stretch the floor and the defense, and teams sag and lay off him. You know, part of why they got destroyed in that Lakers series was the way Anthony Davis sagged off of Draymond Green. And they said, we are playing 5-on-4 defense here. We are not going to honor Draymond as an offensive threat. So I think there's a lot of why do they play basketball the way they do? Well, A, Steph, and also Draymond, you know?
General roster construction. What is the strength of the guys on their roster? Yes, it's not shooting. So we can't put four non-shooters out there alongside Steph.
Okay, which now let's go down the domino effect. Why does Buddy Hield play as much as he does?
Because he actually is a really good shooter despite the hot and cold nature of him. Yes.
Exactly, right? Yes. So, like, when you're putting together a team, you're looking at the strengths and the weaknesses of your team. Well, if Draymond and Steph are going to be a big part of all the different machinations of lineups that you're going to throw out there, you're going to assemble and run offense that's catered to them.
Yes.
Right? And, you know, it's the same thing. Like, if you got Mike Allstott, you better figure out how to utilize the fullback, right?
Yes.
Right? And so, like, that's kind of what the coach has done. Now, that being said, would we all like to see more wrinkles of you know, getting Jimmy downhill? You know, yeah. Would we like to see getting Kuminga, you know, isolated in a one-on-one? Yeah, I would like to. But he's been a poor decision maker sometimes in those opportunities, in those limited looks that he gets. And you're not going to cater an offense around someone coming off the bench as your seventh man. You're just not.
So it's on him to adjust. And he hasn't to this point. Whether you blame Kerr for not giving him the opportunity to, or you blame Kuminga for not doing it himself, that is the simple fact, and it's why I think these two sides are headed for an inevitable breakup. 888-957. Yeah, what's up?
Which sucks because you lose out on the pick, you lose out on the player, you lose out on the value. He didn't maximize himself here. You're probably losing out on the trade and what you'd get back on.
Yep.
Like, again, this is why I was so exhausted over it. They lost. Like, it's over. It sucks. It sucks. And I think trying to salvage it and stay together and oh, let's just see where this goes this year. We're setting ourselves up for more frustration.
It does feel that way. 888-957-9570. Still rolling on this or that. Who deserves more blame? Who has mismanaged this situation more, the Warriors or Kuminga himself? Mike in Santa Clara wants to weigh in. Good morning, Mike. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have to put this a lot more on the Warriors and Kerr. You know, the way I think about it is Kerr had a lot of say of who they were going to be drafting in that draft. And who did they take? They took Kuminga. Mm. So obviously, you know, it goes into the fact that, you know, Kerr's background is he doesn't develop young players the way that other coaches do. So, you know, obviously I can understand why Kuminga is unhappy and why he's not getting the money he has, because he doesn't also get some of the play. You still have to give the guy some minutes, a little bit more minutes than what he's already getting to actually do that. But it goes into the coaching. It's not just on Kerr, but it's on the other coaches as well. So quite frankly, I'm not surprised that he's giving them the double finger at this point with the offers that they're giving him. But at the same time, Kuminga also hasn't shown that he can be that player that gets that value of money in his pocket. So I put it more on Kerr and the front office just because they chose him. Kerr had say in it. And quite frankly, they're not doing a great job of developing him into the player that Kerr and the team wanted. So that's where I stand on it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Mike. I'm not sure how draft night went down. I think in general what most people think is that Joe Lacob was the biggest name that was fighting for Kuminga in terms of draft night. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Steve Kerr has the ability to put his foot down and say, no, I don't draft this guy. I don't know how it all works inside. It did seem like from the beginning that it wasn't Steve Kerr who was the biggest fan of him, even from the second that he was drafted. But in general, the Warriors front office made a choice to draft him, and he's your guy. And from that point on, the asset has only depreciated, and now you're at a point where you're going to have to sell it for pennies on the dollar, most likely.
Like, draft night is, look, sometimes it's a crapshoot. You just pick the wrong guy. Everyone could be in alignment, and you just misread the individual.
But we could talk about, like, the general archetype that you're going for. No, and the archetype they went for with Kuminga was a project.
No doubt. And if you know that going in, then you need to be committed to a development plan. You know, you do these in every corporation, IDPs, like individual development plans.
And then they won a championship in his rookie year.
Yeah, but...
And that changes everything.
But I also think, Mark, like, I could point at different intervals where you've been with this individual day in and day out for years, months on end. You should have a better feel for what that person aspires to, what they're capable of doing for you. I just think along the way, they also mismanage me. Like, forget draft night. Like, you could whiff on draft night. I'm okay with, like, that happens all over every sport. Like, this is not exclusive to the Warriors. It's like, once you have them and then you're with them every single day, like, do you not have a feel for what's going on here? Like, can he help you? Can he not help you? Does he like you? Do you like him? Can we get along? What is he capable of? What is he not? What is he willing to put in terms of the grind that you're looking for to get onto the floor? Why are all these other guys that are randos jumping him on game day? Why are you keep going back to like, dude, okay, well, now you don't like him. Okay, you've been with him. All right, why is next year going to be any different? We should move now. Like, at how many different spots in the last 4 years should we have been having these conversations internally? That's my biggest frustration as we sit here today.
The conversations probably happened, but the decisions they ultimately came to were no, either we're not going to entertain it. The trade deadline in 2024, so a year and a half ago now, Mike Dunleavy was quoted saying, essentially, Jonathan Kuminga was virtually untouchable. The trade deadline 18 months ago, a year and a half ago.
But I don't even know
those conversations happened, but they were immediately shut down.
Do you believe that? Like, untouchable. Do we really believe that?
Mike Dunleavy was quoted as saying virtually
okay,
untouchable, whatever that means.
Okay. That is a direct quote. I guess that's what I'm saying.
That is a direct quote.
I'm not sure if I even understand what that means, I guess is where I'm going.
It's what he said.
And I think we hold, you know, Dunleavy to certain statements like that. I mean, he said that Jordan Poole was going to be on the Warriors and like a day and a half later traded him.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he could say it, he might not mean it.
Yeah, I don't take anybody at a dais or a podium at 100%.
Maybe then that could just be a negotiation tactic. If you're going to want to pry him away from us, you're going to have to come with the best.
Exactly.
Because we're not going to let him go for nothing. We got time for a couple more calls before we wrap this one up. Jack, I see you. We'll come to you in a sec. But up next is Yancey in Oakland who wants to weigh
in. Hey, Yancey.
What's up, Yancey?
How y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
All right. I think the whole situation is on Kerr. It's not the management. It's not nothing else. It's Kerr. Kerr thinks everybody's supposed to play like a 6'5 shooting guard. He tried to make Wiseman, 7-footer. You got to get out and guard small forwards and shooting guards because he would not change his offense and his defense. Excuse me. Then he tried to say, no pick and rolls. We're not going to change our offense. He has continuously mismanaged his young players because he wants everybody to play like a 6'5 shooting guard, which is what he is and what he knows and what he won with. But now your team has changed and he hasn't changed. So that's what I think the problem is. I can go deeper into it, but I'm going to let y'all, you know, talk about it.
I'll chew on
that. Appreciate it, Yancey.
I think every coach has to evolve over time based on the league trending and what your roster is. You know, I'll never forget the day I was out on Chip Kelly, and it's one of the greatest moments I can remember any journalist ever having. Lowell Cone, to his credit, said to him, he goes, well, so you don't ever use the fullback? And he's like, nope, never used the fullback. He's like, so if I gave you Jim Brown or Mike Allstott in his prime, you couldn't use him? Something to that effect. And he was like, nope, we don't use the fullback. And like that to me is like, wow, that's why Chip Kelly is not in the NFL. Like, you take a hike. Like, what is the hallmark of what makes Belichick excellent? What was his defense? It was whatever he needed it to be that week to stop that opponent, right? He was consistently evolving. Now, can you have principles and philosophies? You know, absolutely. You know, absolutely you can. And, you know, like, I think like the Niners, at one point they were a 3-4, and then they went to a 4-3, and they went back to a 3-4, and, right? Like, I get it. You hire certain guys, like, this is how they came up. Like, right now with Robert Saleh, you know, the wide nine and certain single high safety looks, like, is what he's going to be looking for, right? You can have your tendencies, but you're going to mix things in over time. I'll listen to some of the conversations about, hey, the Warriors have been a little stale running the same offense over and over and over. But I also would say, hey, I watched them in that Lakers series adjust to the specific stuff the Lakers were doing, and they ran high pick and rolls, and Curry was gassed after a couple of games. Now, that was also in the playoffs, on the back of a long season and stuff. It's just, you can't have it one way or the other. I hate watching James Harden run nothing but exclusive ISOs and pick and rolls. It's awful basketball. I also think it's easier to defend when you get to the playoffs. The hardest thing to defend is the read and react. But yeah, I'd like to have seen them wrinkle in some other things. I think right in the middle is where I stand. Yeah. Still do your bread and butter, but let's add some side dishes to this as well.
Yeah, let's sneak in one more call. Jack in Oakland. Jack, bring us home. You got 60 seconds. What's on your mind, Jack?
Yeah, so I think the Warriors mismanaged the situation, because I think Kuminga would be a perfect piece when it comes to playing that energetic sixth man. And I think Steve needs to learn he can't play Guy Santos, GP2, and Kevon Looney, who do all the dirty work that he loves and win a championship, without having another wrinkle associated to it. I know Kuminga definitely thinks he deserves more than be a 1A, 1B type player, which you can go to the previous teams in Orlando and things like that, and you put up points, but your team never wins. So it's kind of a dual mess between each other. But I think the Warriors need to realize, when you need to rest Steph and Dre, knowing their ages, like, you need someone that just gives you a change of pace. And does, like, you can still tie him with all the people that do the dirty work and jump on loose balls and things like that, but he brings something unique that he needs to realize he has that in his bag.
Yeah, I think right now,
thanks, Jack,
asking him right now, I don't think he's ready to accept the sixth man role that everyone's envisioning for him. He wants more. And that's why I keep coming at you, like, they're just going to have to move him. Like, they're just... Yeah.
I think the bottom line is he cares more about minutes and role and long-term security in terms of having that minutes and role for years than he does about money and winning. The reality is, if his number one goal is role and consistent minutes, the only teams that are willing to give him that are teams likely that aren't in a great spot right now.
No, it's teams.
Which is why the teams that are interested in him right now are the Suns and the Kings, and they're going nowhere fast. So, I mean, he can want whatever the hell he wants, but that's the reality that he's staring at right now.
What do the Warriors want? Like, honest to gosh, what do you think the Warriors want?
A great return for Kuminga, and they're not going to get it.
Well, that's not going to happen.
They want Keegan Murray from the Kings. That's what they want, but they're not going to get it.
I want Keegan Murray, too.
Yeah, they're not going to get it. Not in their wildest dreams, but that's what they're dreaming for. And if they can't get a good return, they want to sign Kuminga to a $20 million deal so that they can then get Giannis when he wants out of Milwaukee. That's what they want. I know you're frustrated. We got to get to Fast Five.
Time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I know you got to read something.
No, go ahead. I'll do it after.
6 years I've been doing this morning show. Giannis talk. Again, it always comes back to Giannis talk. And you wonder why my head's going to explode.
A man can dream,
you
huh?
Know, when I see, like, Nick at Night used to do all the reruns, I feel like Mr. Ed at times, where I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to get Giannis. Yeah, we're going to get Giannis. That's such a dated reference, by the way. Nick at Night and Mr. Ed. I mean, Steiny would appreciate that, but maybe Guru. I don't know about any other young whippersnappers.
Yes. Oh.
It's just we're signing him because maybe we could get Giannis.
And weren't you like all in on Giannis like
I'm
a month ago?
I was all in on Giannis. You know that. But like talking about, again, it's just, imagine being me. 2019, we could be after Giannis. We want Giannis. 2023, we could get Giannis. 2025, we could get Giannis. It's going to be 2026 February deadline. I mean, you know, if Miles,
we could get Giannis.
If Miles Turner doesn't return from this elbow fracture, maybe Giannis wants out.
Maybe when Turner comes back, we can finally get Miles Turner too.
And then while we're at it, let's trade for Pascal Siakam, the trade that never was.
Let's go back and get Ben Simmons. Why not?
He's still a free agent. Ben Simmons is a free agent. You could go sign him right now if you really wanted to.
Hey, at one point, me and Bonte traded everyone for Ben Simmons.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Summer Ben Simmons was a great one.
My final thought, this is a text that came in courtesy from the 415. Shout out to the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys. Text on my final thought is that Chip Kelly is this was from the 650. Chip Kelly's back in the NFL. I forgot about this. He was the offensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes when they won the national championship last year. He's now the OC for
the Raiders.
The Raiders.
And you know what he did? He told Genty to work on his stance and change his stance pre-snap. Again, this is Chip Kelly, dude. The guy is just... Exactly, exactly. If I watch another slow-developing read option fourth and one play with Jeremy Curley coming across the middle of the formation...
God, Jeremy Curley!
Leading receiver in 2016, Jeremy Curley, with Sean Drones as the running back.
I thought it was Carlos Hyde. Was that
Hyde was there, but he got hurt, too. I'm talking about the end of the year.
Yeah, that was rough
Hyde
times.
Had that, 200-yard game, you know, three or four touchdowns against the Vikings. God.
Anyway, what's your guys' final thoughts?
Oh, man, as we tick closer and closer to the deadline, some teams are starting to... I didn't hear what Chasky said. Some teams are starting to make some moves. And, guys, the Yankees loaded up big today. Did you guys see who they got? The best lefty masher in the game. Austin Slater trading his White Sox pinstripes for the Yankees pinstripes. Aaron Judge, I know you got an oblique injury. Take your time, dude. Slaves. You are absolutely set. You got back up there. Just get
Slater
right, get healthy. You got your line of protection when postseason comes around.
I just totally screwed you up. Do you think Slater said to them, I'd rather be on the White Sox?
Slater saying, hey, anytime you got a lefty up, obviously.
Austin, sit down. We're thinking about trading you to the Yankees. You have a chance of actually making the playoffs.
Obviously, I think I can have success there.
No, he would say,
I'm out.
I'd rather be on the White Sox.
Carter, what do you got for us?
Yeah, my final thought today is the Warriors botched this Kuminga situation. It's not Kuminga. Listen, at the end of the day, I have an opinion about the Warriors. Like, their offense is just not as good as they think it is. See, it's so centered around Steph Curry and just getting Steph the ball. You have a scorer in Kuminga. I don't think he's the be all end all. I don't think he's the greatest player ever, a star or anything. But he can score the basketball, and there's times in these games when you really need that. And I think Kerr is just too stubborn to go to him sometimes.
All right. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. There was an update today from Anthony Slater. Steiny and Guru are coming up next. I'm sure they'll tell you everything you need to know about it. But that was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity, introducing the 5-year price guarantee, one consistent internet price for the next 5 years. Guaranteed again. Yeah, what's up?
When you go to hell, okay, as a sports radio host, it's one of these conversations
that we're all going to go to hell.
Yeah, when you're on your way to hell, this
no,
is
just what, you specifically.
Yeah, Gary. When I go to hell, all right, it's gonna be a nonstop. Is Brock elite? Is Kuminga gonna get traded? Or are we gonna get Giannis?
Lauri Markkanen.
Are the Giants still in it?
The math still works out.
It's nothing but those nonstop conversations with Satan like, Jimmy.
And you can hear all of those conversations with Steiny and Guru coming up next. That's what's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, for Shasky, for Sam, for Carter. I'm Grandy. Thanks for listening. We'll talk next time on 95.7 The Game.